And a good Sunday morning to you. Susie Jones here, Josh Wheeler at the helm. Josh, you just gave me the temperature reading, which was?
It's a crisp, cool 42 degrees.
Isn't that amazing?
It's crazy.
Where were we last week? Was it 87 last Sunday?
We touched 90 last week.
Last?
91 per my car. And yeah, it was not good.
Well, and here we are.
And we're going to be right back in the 60s and 70s this week. But oh, storms. There's still storms.
Well.
Because we do have to get the spring weather out of the way.
I guess. Anyway. Well, hope you're having a good morning, whatever you're doing. If you're up having your coffee, reading the paper, getting ready for church. I know I am a person who suffers from allergies. How about you, Josh?
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah? I think everybody's has their day with it, no matter where you are.
Yeah. What do you get? Watery eyes, itchy?
I just get kind of like now. Like, I don't have allergies now, but I could feel my, the sinuses kind of just, it's that season where everything's changing, so you feel just a little more flushy in the face.
That's a good word.
Yeah.
Flushy.
Yeah.
Well, we are happy to have with us this week, as we're talking about our health hour, and I'm renaming it Head to Toe. We're going to start in your head here. Not start. We've been talking about head stuff the last couple of weeks. But we have on our news line Dr. Pramod Kelkar, an allergy specialist with Allina Health, to talk just about allergies. We want to make sure that we invite people to be part of the show as well. 651-461-9226. Dr. Kelkar, thank you for coming on with us today.
Oh, yeah. Good morning to you and good morning to all of our listeners and happy spring.
Well, we were just talking, Dr. Kelkar, about the hot weather we had right out of the gates, and everything just opened up and there were things flying in the air. Did that just light up everyone's allergies and did they all come running to you for help?
Yeah, you know, this is typical for every year. In springtime, we see patients with nose congestion, runny nose, sneezing, itchy eyes, red eyes, and sometimes even allergies can produce asthma type of symptoms like coughing, wheezing. So yeah, this is very typical for this time of the year.
And is this year any different than other years?
You know, we always hear this from patients that this year is one of the worst years. But frankly speaking, our allergies have been getting worse over time. And partly climate change has to be blamed because the allergy season has been extended by 1 month. So the beginning is earlier and the end is later. And that's why people are suffering more from allergies as every year goes by.
Well, we want to make sure we get listeners involved because this is one that, as you said, so many people deal with on a regular basis. 651-461-9226 if you have a question for Dr. Kelkar. And we talked with Josh for a minute about symptoms. So there are many symptoms that you can have as a result of allergies. Can you kind of talk about those?
Yeah, so environmental allergies, like allergies from pollens, tree pollens, grass pollens, ragweed, they can cause stuffy nose, runny nose, sneezing, itchy eyes, watery eyes, red eyes, sometimes allergy-induced asthma. Then there is different type of allergy called insect sting allergy, where people get a bee sting and they will have anaphylaxis like throat closing, shortness of breath, passing out. Some people have skin allergy, let's say poison ivy exposure or poison oak or poison sumac. So they are working in the garden, pulling out those weeds. They get exposed to poison ivy, and they will have a skin rash. Now, some patients can have food allergy. And I'm sure that your listeners have heard about patients like peanut allergy, shrimp allergy, where they eat peanut, they get throat closing, shortness of breath, coughing, wheezing, etc.
What about the being tired, sort of feeling just, ugh, like just not much energy? Can that be a part of it as well?
Well, tiredness can be from many causes. One way the allergies can produce tiredness is if you have allergies and if your nose is congested, then your sleep will be disrupted because you won't be able to breathe through your nose, and that will cause snoring, sleep disruption, and obviously if your sleep is disrupted, you're going to feel tired.
So that's sort of as a result of the symptoms, not necessarily the allergy itself making you tired.
Well, sometimes there is another cause for tiredness. People may be taking Benadryl or something over the counter that may be causing drowsiness that will be helping their allergies, but the medications can also produce tiredness as a side effect.
651-461-9226. That is the number to call if you have a question for our doctor this hour. We're talking about allergies, not just allergies you get from pollen or ragweed, but maybe all allergies. Maybe you have something that you have a question about. Well, this is your opportunity to get that question answered. Again, 651-461-9226. We'll take our first break and come back with more of your calls and text questions for Dr. Pramod after this break. And we are back. It is 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. We're talking about allergies as we do our health hour head to toe. Dr. Pramod Kalkar, an allergy specialist with Allina Health, is our guest this week. And we're talking about allergies, and we invite you to be part of the program as well. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Dr. Kalkar, my mom had a question for me yesterday. Can an older person develop allergies later in life? Have you seen that? Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, you can develop allergies at any point in life. So, yes, it's possible to develop allergies for the first time in your adult life.
Can you have allergies 1 year bad and then kind of not at all the next? And how would we explain that?
Oh, yes, of course. You know, allergies can fluctuate over lifetimes. So, depending on the allergy season, depending on many other circumstances, 1 year your allergies may feel worse, the other year they may feel better. There are many, many reasons for that. Pollen levels is just one of the reasons, but there can be a whole host of reasons for that.
Okay. And that's something that a person would come in to you and say, I'm suffering and I want to find out what's happening. And I mean, what is a typical interaction you might have with a patient?
Yeah, so typically patients come to me after they have tried over-the-counter medications, and if they are still miserable with allergies, then they want to find out what things they are allergic to, and they want to seek relief from allergies with prescription medications and other treatments like allergy immunotherapy or allergy shots.
Yeah, and how long do you have to be particularly in a bad way to get an allergy shot?
Well, it depends. You know, obviously, if you are miserable with allergies, if they have been ongoing for quite some time, and if you have already tried all the medications available in the market, certainly allergy immunotherapy, allergy shots can provide tremendous benefit to you.
And at some point, allergies can be fatal, can they not?
Yes, food allergies can be fatal. Yes, drug allergies can be fatal. Insect sting allergy, where people get a bee sting, that can be fatal. There are allergies that can be fatal, yes.
My mom is allergic to penicillin, and that is something she is always acutely aware of, particularly if she has a doctor's appointment or what have you. We have to make sure, you know, she has the thing on her hand. And a lot of people, I don't see that so much anymore. Remember, do people have little trinkets or a bracelet they might wear to ward off a possible interaction?
Yeah, you know, one of the reasons we don't see that now, because everything is digital. So it's entered in their electronic medical record that they are allergic to a specific drug. So that's why you don't see those bracelets. But one important thing for your listeners is that penicillin allergy, even though it's fairly common, majority of the people who have penicillin allergy will eventually outgrow it. In fact, more than 90% will outgrow it after about 10 to 20 years. So that's something very important for our listeners to remember. The drug allergy is not necessarily lifelong.
Interesting. 651-461-9226. A texter writes, is it safe to take Flonase daily for a runny nose, or is there something else that might be more effective? That's from Mary. Thank you for that question, Mary. Go ahead, doctor.
Yeah, generally speaking, Flonase and similar medications, we call them as steroid nasal sprays. Those are fairly safe to take on a daily basis, long term. One important thing people must remember when they use the nasal spray, make sure that they direct it slightly out towards the same side ear. So if they put in the right nostril, direct it to the right ear, because if they spray it on the septum, which is right in the center, there is higher likelihood of bloody noses.
Oh, interesting. That's good to know, listener. Did you catch that? You don't want a bloody nose. Thank you for that text question, 651-461-9226. Let's go to Kathy next. Kathy is calling this morning from Le Sueur, Minnesota. Good morning, Kathy. Thanks for waking up with us on this Sunday morning. What's your question for the doctor?
My question is, I am very allergic to gnat bites, and they swell up so terribly. Is there anything that is topical or anything that I can take that will bring the swelling down? I have tried pretty much everything that I can think of. Or is there a way to prevent it, which I know that they're attracted to carbon dioxide, and obviously if I wear like a beehive hat, that would protect me from the bite, but the swelling lasts for at least a week, and it's very itchy.
Doctor?
Yeah, this can be sometimes challenging issue to handle. We typically ask patients to use over-the-counter steroid creams like hydrocortisone, cortisone, cortade. Use ice packs right away after you get an insect bite. And then the other thing to do is taking an antihistamine like Claritin, Allegra, Zyrtec, something over-the-counter. But sometimes these medications and treatment strategies are not very effective, and patients may have to go to their primary care provider or their allergy specialists. And in the rare situations, we may have to use a dose or two of prednisone orally to control these symptoms. Sometimes this issue can be challenging to treat.
I was going to ask for Kathy, I don't know if she's still on the line, you know, you put on spray to not get bitten by a mosquito. Is there any kind of a spray to not get bitten by a gnat?
I'm not aware of any specific spray for the gnats and specific insects, but they advertise a number of sprays that can work for a number of types of insects.
Okay. 651-461-9226. Thanks, Kathy, for calling in this morning. Hope that helped. The texter writes, I'm very allergic to my dog, but there's no way we can get rid of it. Will allergy shots help, or will I eventually just have to get used to the dog? That's from a texter.
Yes. You know, there are patients who are allergic to dog. They do have a dog at home. Frankly speaking, I haven't seen a patient who has gotten rid of the dog just because they are allergic to dog, because, as you know, dogs and cats and pets are our family members. Mm-hmm. So we can't even think about getting rid of them, even if we are allergic to them. And yes, in those patients who are allergic to their pets, allergy shots, allergy immunotherapy can provide immense benefit.
651-461-9226. We're talking to Dr. Pramod Kalkar. He is an allergy specialist with Allina Health System. And if you have a question about allergies, this is a wonderful opportunity for you to jump in and get it answered, get some advice, some direction. I'm almost ready to sneeze right now just talking about it. A texter writes in, from early spring on, when I am in the sun, I break out with a painful rash on exposed skin, for example, arms, legs. What causes like a sun rash? I know I get this too.
Yeah, it's called sun-induced urticaria. There are a couple of different types of that skin reaction. Some people have just a hives type of reaction after sun exposure, but some people have like a rash type of a reaction after sun exposure called photodermatitis. That can happen. It's just an inflammatory condition of the skin. And you can sometimes prevent that by taking antihistamine on a daily basis during the sunny days if you are going to go out. You can also prevent it by using, sunscreens. Or even there are clothes. The clothes themselves have some sun protection built in. So there are shirts and trousers available like that. You can try those. And if those don't work, then sometimes we have to use topical steroid creams to calm down that inflammation.
It is 7:27 on a Sunday morning. My name is Susie Jones. And again, we have Dr. Pramod Kalkar with us on News Talk 830 WCCO. This is a wonderful time for you to be involved if you want to be involved. Let's talk about using some of these allergens on a regular basis. You just mentioned it. Are there any medical side effects like high blood pressure, etc.?
Yes. So there are patients who will be using antihistamines combined with decongestants. An example will be Claritin D, Allegra D, Zyrtec D, Sudafed. Those decongestants can cause higher blood pressure, higher pressure in the eye, jitteriness, rapid heart rate, and insomnia. So we always tell patients not to use decongestants on a regular basis. If they are using them once in a while, and if they don't have any side effect, that's fine. But generally speaking, we don't advise decongestants on a regular basis.
Okay, very good. Let's take our bottom of the hour break right now. It is 7:28 on a Sunday morning. It's a chilly one out there, so be aware of that if you're getting up and putting on clothes. Make sure you put a little warmer top and some long pants on as it is colder outside today. 7:28, we'll do the news and we'll do some weather for you coming up right after this. It is 7:32 on News Talk 830 WCCO. Good morning. Hope you're having a good one so far. I'm Susie Jones, Josh Wheeler at the helm, and our guest this hour is Dr. Pramod Kelkar, an allergy specialist with Allina Health, and we're talking about allergies, and we have a number of people with text questions. We also have people on the line, but we'll start with some of our text questions. This person asks about being gluten-free. So many people now are not able to have bread, gluten sensitivity. Is gluten sensitivity, the texter writes, as problematic as actual celiac disease? And maybe explain what this is, celiacs versus gluten sensitivity, and what the symptoms are and how prevalent it is. It seems to be quite prevalent.
Yes, it seems to be more prevalent than before, certainly. And the biggest difference between celiac disease and gluten sensitivity is that if you do have celiac disease, that is proven by biopsy and testing, and if you happen to continue to eat gluten, then you have higher risk of lymphoma or cancer. But if you just have gluten sensitivity, and if you don't have celiac disease, if you continue to have gluten, it will make you miserable for that particular time period, but it would not increase any long-term risk of any situation.
Well, so if you are gluten sensitive, might it be best for you to check to see if you in fact have celiac disease? Because it sounds like if you in fact have celiac disease, you are prone to a worse condition than just not feeling well.
Yes, I think that will be a good idea. But keep in mind, celiac disease symptoms are slightly different than gluten sensitivity. There are many patients with gluten sensitivity. They will just feel like fatigued or tired after eating gluten, or may have some headache, but will not have any digestive symptoms, will not have any skin rashes. People who have celiac disease will typically have abdominal pain, bloating, diarrhea, a severe skin rash that will not go away. So there are distinctions in terms of symptoms and their manifestations.
Wonderful. Thanks for that answer. My son, my adult son, has a dairy allergy, this texter writes, which was diagnosed when he was an infant. Is it hereditary? He now has a 3.5-month-old child. How concerned should his parents be about a reoccurring dairy allergy?
Yeah, allergies in general are, I wouldn't say hereditary, but allergies as a concept, if one parent has allergies, then their kid has higher likelihood of developing allergies as a concept, but not in details. For example, if parents are allergic to foods, that doesn't mean that the kids will be allergic to the same foods or even food allergy. They may have some allergy. As a concept, there is a higher risk, but the details can vary a lot. So people should not just assume that because the parents are allergic to one particular thing, that the kid has a higher likelihood of allergy to that particular thing.
Hmm. Another texter, thanks for that question and answer. Can allergies cause a person to have a fever?
No, allergies will not cause any fever. So if you have fever, you need to look into other causes. Sinus infection, flu, virus infections, bacterial infections, and a variety of other causes.
651-461-9226 if you have a question for Dr. Pramod Kelkar. Dr. Kelkar, how do you spell your last name? A texter wanted to know.
K-E-L-K-A-R, just as you said it, Kelkar.
Kelkar. And if someone wants to follow up and call your office and set up an appointment, that's something they could do, correct?
Oh, yes, of course, yes.
Okay. We'll make sure we get your office number. Do you know your office number off the top of your head?
So I have multiple locations that I see patients at, mm-hmm. Maple Grove, Blaine, and Woodbury, and the numbers are different. Woodbury number is 651-241-3000, and the Maple Grove number is 763-236-0200.
We will repeat that, and Josh will write it down, so if anyone wants to get in touch with you after the show. A texter writes at 651-461-9226, how can you tell the difference between allergies and bronchitis?
Bronchitis essentially means inflammatory response in the airways, and that will manifest as cough. As I said before, some patients can have allergy-induced asthma, and if asthma is manifesting as cough, they can look alike. But many patients with bronchitis may have infection in addition to just inflammatory response. So people may have fever or other symptoms that go with infection like colored mucus, yellow-green drainage, and they may require a different treatment. For example, people with bronchitis, if they have infection, they will need antibiotics. And if people have allergy-induced asthma, they don't need antibiotics. They just need inhalers to control it.
All right, 651-461-9226. Good morning. The texter writes, I had a reaction to a bee sting about 8 years ago and was put on allergy shots for 5 years, and I carry an EpiPen. I no longer get the allergy shot. I wonder how long I'll have this allergy, and will I have to be cautious the rest of my life?
Yes, very good question. I mean, studies have shown that if you receive allergy shots for typically about 5 years, for most patients, that's sufficient to provide them long-term benefit. But we do know that as the time passes, and if they have been off of shots for 10 years or 20 years, is there a possibility that the allergies can come back? And there is always a possibility that the allergies can come back. So the patients who have had anaphylaxis or life-threatening reactions from bee sting, they need to be very careful, and they need to carry EpiPen even after stopping shots and even if they have developed the immunity, because the immunity from allergy shots can reduce over a period of time, can wane over a period of time. And, you know, future is always unpredictable in terms of how the body is going to behave. So, yes, I would highly recommend that they continue to carry EpiPen, be cautious about insect sting, and treat it appropriately.
Is an EpiPen fairly easy to use? Is it just open it and give yourself a shot? Or talk about the process of if someone's in an emergency situation and needs an EpiPen shot.
Yeah, EpiPen is very easy to use, and nowadays it's ubiquitous. So most people, even if they don't have allergy, they have heard about EpiPen. They are familiar with how it can be used. Good news is that we have other options for EpiPen as well. There is a competitive product called AviQ that actually talks to you, and it gives you directions so that it walks you through how to use it. And there is now a new nasal spray containing epinephrine. So people who have needle phobia, they can use the nasal spray instead of injecting themselves with epinephrine. And the epinephrine will be delivered via nasal spray, creating the same benefit as EpiPen. So there are a variety of products available now, and people can choose from them.
And a texter writes along those lines, what is the best over-the-counter medication for allergies? I guess I'll let you answer, obviously, but does it depend on what kind of allergy you're suffering from?
Yes, you're absolutely correct. I mean, it will depend on what kind of allergy you have. If you have a skin rash situation, then obviously you're talking about topical creams. If you have nasal allergies like stuffy nose, runny nose, sneezing, you're talking of nasal spray, which can be more effective than the pills. If you have itchy throat, itchy nose, itchy eyes, then the allergy pill will be very effective. If you just have symptoms affecting your eyes, like itchy, watery red eyes, then eye drops can be much more effective than the allergy pills.
Very good. And someone did ask if you could kind of briefly go over the best way to take Flonase and not get a nosebleed. Do you spray it toward the ear? Is that what you said?
Towards the same side ear. So if they're putting the nasal spray bottle in their right nostril, they should direct it to the right ear, so slightly outwards, and left side again towards the left ear, slightly outwards, not spray it on the septum, which is right in the center of the nose, because that's where all the blood vessels are. So if you keep spraying the nasal spray on the septum, it's not that everybody is going to get bloody noses if they do that, but some patients will have more chances of getting bloody noses because the vessels there will be irritated and they will bleed.
Okay, let's do one more. I've been on allergy injections for tree pollen for more than 30 years. I still have significant inflammation in my sinuses from mid-March to mid-June. Are there any possibilities for another treatment? I also take Allegra, they say.
Yeah. You know, if that's the case, then the first thing I would recommend for this person is to go ahead and talk with your allergist. And they can decide, depending on your symptoms, your physical examination, what additional strategies to implement.
All right, very good. 651-461-9226. This texter writes, can you outgrow NSAID allergies? And tell me what an NSAID allergy is.
Yeah. NSAID stands for non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. Just a big name. Ibuprofen and other painkillers are in this category. Can you outgrow this? I mean, anything is, we say in medicine, never say never. So yes, some people can outgrow. It also depends on what your initial reaction was. Sometimes we find that patients may not have had allergy to a particular drug, but because the allergy type of reaction happened at the same time that they started that medicine, it gets blamed on the drug. In other words, they may be mislabeled as allergic to the medicine. Mm. So we need to be careful here when we say outgrowing. We need to sort out what is true allergy, what is not true allergy, and then if somebody is truly allergic to it, then we are talking of whether somebody can outgrow it or not.
Okay. We'll take our last break of the hour. It is just coming up on 7:45. Again, our guest is Dr. Pramod Kelkar, an allergy specialist with Allina Health. And we are taking your calls and your texts, and we're getting plenty in here at 651-461-9226. We're back after this quick break. And we are back with the final segment of our Health Hour, Head to Toe. I'm Susie Jones. Josh Wheeler is at the helm today, and we are taking your calls and your texts at 651-461-9226. We're talking about allergies this hour. We're getting plenty of questions from folks. Dr. Pramod Kelkar is an allergy specialist with Allina Health. A texter writes, what are the ramifications of taking Sudafrin daily during the height of summer allergy season? I also take a high blood pressure medication. It is well controlled. Can you talk about that, please?
Yes, Sudafed is a decongestant, so definitely there is a higher risk of increasing blood pressure, increasing pressure in the eye, jitteriness, rapid heart rate, and insomnia. So I would advise the significant caution for those patients who have high blood pressure, even if it is controlled, to consider not taking decongestants on a regular basis, but try and control allergy symptoms with other strategies.
All right, very good. 651-461-9226. A texter writes, I am finding that more and more I get an instant stuffy nose when eating certain bread products. The stuffiness stays with me for 20 to 30 minutes and seems to be getting more severe. Is this an allergic reaction? Is there a way to test to identify what's in the bread that might be setting me off? Sorry, go ahead. That was a long question.
Some patients, when they get gluten sensitivity, they may have these types of reactions. And unfortunately, we don't have good tests for gluten sensitivity. Mm-hmm. The best test for gluten sensitivity is a real-life test. That means you avoid gluten for a month and see how you feel. And then if you feel great, you reintroduce gluten back into the diet, see how you feel. If you start feeling worse, then it's probably gluten sensitivity. Keep in mind that gluten sensitivity also depends on the amount of food you eat. We do see patients in practice who eat small amount of gluten, they are fine, but if they eat significant quantities of gluten, they may feel some reactions from that, just like the listener mentioned.
Okay. 651-461-9226. I've heard that exposure to peanuts can diminish the chances of developing a peanut allergy. Is this true, and how would you suggest doing a minimal exposure?
Yes, this is absolutely true, but a very big word of caution. If you have anaphylaxis from peanut, or if your children have anaphylaxis from peanut, it is not a good idea to do it on your own at home. Mm. You definitely want to seek an opinion of an allergy specialist and then consider strategies how to implement that. We currently do offer a program called oral food desensitization, which is done under medical supervision, where we give increasing doses of a certain food over a long period of time to desensitize patients. So yes, this is possible, but patients who have had anaphylaxis before from the food, they need to definitely consider visiting with their allergist before implementing this on their own, because otherwise they will run the risk of having an anaphylactic episode at home if they do it by themselves.
All right. Thank you for that answer, doctor. It was very helpful. 651-461-9226. If an allergy pill like Zyrtex does not stop itchy eyes completely, is it okay to use an allergy eye drop at the same time?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, we find that allergy eye drops are much more effective than allergy pills to control symptoms of eye allergy like itchy eyes, watery eyes, red eyes. So I would highly recommend doing the eye drop either by itself or in addition to your other allergy medications.
What about this weather? Because, you know, we were talking at the beginning of the show about the fact that it was hot and dry and windy, and I'm sure that was just the perfect conditions for to make it miserable for people who suffer from allergies. Does it go without saying then when we drop the temperature and we get rain that we should no longer feel the allergy symptom?
I mean, there is some truth to that. When we get rain, then pollen levels are low, and temporarily people will feel better in terms of their allergy symptoms. And if the weather is dry, windy, and hot, that will worsen the allergies.
Are you seeing people coming in more and more these days with, have you seen any kind of new or different allergy, or is it pretty much still run-of-the-mill allergy symptoms?
You know, typical symptoms with allergy, the nose, sinus, eyes, we are seeing a number of them. We have also seen a number of patients with skin allergies. And hard to explain why, but we are seeing more and more patients with skin allergies now than before.
Interesting. Another texter writes, is there truly an allergy-free cat? I don't know.
Hard to answer that question. Probably not. At least scientifically speaking, we don't know if cat can be completely allergy free. Having said that, we do have a number of patients who say that they are not allergic to their own cat because they have sort of gotten used to it. But when they go to their sister's house or brother's house, and the cat exposure there with a newer type of cat will cause problems for them.
Wow, that's...
We do see that in practice, but I'm not sure if there is something like 100% allergy-free cat available in the market.
I've seen a hairless cat. My neighbor had a hairless cat, and it was just uncomfortable to look at. It looked like it had been in an accident. I hate to say it. But anyway, that was peculiar. I don't know if a cat has no fur. Does that make it not allergic? I suppose we'll have, I don't know. I don't have a cat. So, well, Dr. Pramod Kelkar, thank you for being on with us. I appreciate it. So this is your busy time of year then. Is it, or is it busy 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days? Do you always?
Well, technically it's busy all year round, because even if people are not in the allergy season, they can have allergy to dust mites. They can have allergy to cat and dog, and those are not going to go away with certain seasons. Those are all year round allergies. Plus, as I mentioned, you know, people can get food allergy, drug allergy, skin allergy. Those are all year round. So it's pretty much all year round, I would say.
Yeah, right, exactly. We have about a minute left. A lot of people have questions about allergy eye drops and just regular eye drops. So what does a allergy eye drop have in it to help that a normal one doesn't?
Allergy eye drops are typically antihistamine and mast cell stabilizer eye drops, and people can certainly consult pharmacists about it. These are the eye drops that used to be prescription. Now, many of them are over-the-counter, so if people consult their pharmacist, they should be able to guide them what are the eye drops for allergies. One last thing I would like our listeners to know is that we have so many strategies to improve allergies, to control allergies available now, that nobody should be suffering from allergies. And definitely don't deny yourself the pleasure of outdoors. Just because you have allergies, you just need to find the right doctor and the right treatment to control the symptoms.
Well, that is wonderful advice to tie a bow on this and bid you adieu. Thank you for your time today. Very helpful, very informative, and we'll have you on again sometime very soon. Thank you, doctor.
Thank you so much, Susie, and thank you so much.
Okay. Pramod Kelkar, Alina Health on News Talk 830 WCCO.